Akashvani 106.5 FM, awakening the mind and spirit.
Good morning and welcome to the Morning Panchayat on Akashvani 106.5 FM. The Nation's Intelligent Talk Show, 3 minutes after six. Let's take a look at some of our international headlines. Focus on the final U.S. presidential debate. The latest updates in text and video as the U.S. election enters its frantic final fortnight. Feature piece, has the EU-UK trade talks reached a dead end? New name for a Canadian town called Asbestos. UK push to give people COVID for vaccine trial. Volunteers will be deliberately exposed to the virus in trials due to start in January. Donald Trump set to remove Sudan from terrorism blacklist. The U.S. president says he will act once Sudan pays $335 million to U.S. terror victims and families. Colorado battles a record-breaking wildfire. On the coronavirus front in the U.K., key day in row over north of England restrictions. Visa and MasterCard accused of excessive fees. French pupils held after teacher beheaded. First UK airport coronavirus testing begins. Let's basically look at some of the major international headlines. 7.5 minutes after six. Good morning to you if you're now joining us. A special hello to those people locked on to us via the internet. On the front page of the Guardian newspaper, columns, Christmas spirit. Minister holds off on new car taxes. Time extended to January 1st, 2021. Public can now make Yuletide orders. So you basically come, drop a set of new tax on people. Then you come after and say, give all that little 3 months to buy all you could buy now. Somehow that's supposed to be seen as some kind of gift to the other, to the nation. And I tell you, let's head into our newspaper and see what's on the inside. Car buyers get tax breaks as a Christmas gift. Restaurateurs on verge of closure want to ease. I spoke to you a bit about this yesterday, that this Trent Restaurants Limited says that they are feeling the pinch, and that these are the people that own the upscale Trotters and Buzo and several other restaurants, and 300 of their employees face the breadline as they say that they can no longer shoulder the financial burdens brought on by COVID-19. Yesterday we had a group of business people coming together saying to the government, listen, we've put measures in place, we can deal with these things. The guidelines that you've implemented because of COVID-19, we will adhere to and enforce. Please allow us to do business. We'll wait to see what the government does. Stay indoors for Halloween, urges health official. Secret deportation of Venezuelans via TNT claims U.S. Embassy defers to Homeland Security. COVID-19 death toll stands at 97. An elderly man died yesterday. Parents, teachers protest CAPE results outside Parliament. Tutor wants ministry to bear cost of CXC script reviews. Well, apparently Barbados has taken a decision to pay for all of the queries that its students are going to lodge, because it says, Mia Motley says, that it's unfair for these students to have to pay to query their results because of what appears to be discrepancies on the part of CXC. So here at home, Tutor is expecting the ministry to do that. The ministry going cap in hand all over the place, saying they don't have money to buy devices and everything else. Really expect the government to say, all right, but we'll pay for all of these queries. How do we be able to fund the $66 million they have to pay for investigators to come to investigate? Only God knows what. No plans to cut staff at WASA, that's according to the minister. I'll just sit on and hold that. I don't know how they will not cut staff when they've reduced the allocation to WASA and they set up a government team to review WASA's operations moving forward. This is Petrichan all over again. Ember defeats Elias in Grenada Stadium case. Local team inspects sinking Venezuelan oil tanker today. Shut down MC7 charged with breaching COVID-19 regulations in Tobago. St. Joseph man found shot dead in pickup. And what else do we have in the Guardian newspaper? On the business page, Atlantic CEO, energy demand slowly rising again. And TTBAA, as chairman of the Trinidad and Tobago Beverage Alcohol Alliance, says that they're asking for a 30 to 50% operating capacity for bars and restaurants. Diwali at a standstill, and all the associated works that go into Diwali, people making their diyas and everything else, they're going to be hit pretty hard this year. That's for sure. That's basically a look at some of the major stories coming out of the Guardian newspaper this morning. Good morning to Kieran.
Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, October the 20th, and there are many stories in today's Trinidad Guardian, which, of course, we must discuss in detail. But as we look at the stories of today's Trinidad Guardian, we see that, for example, car buyers get tax break as Christmas gift. Now, let's touch on that story firstly. And according to the article, Imbert advised that at its meeting last week, Cabinet had agreed, considering the announcement regarding an increase of taxes and import duty, that the taxes will be applicable from January the 1st to 2020, saying, quote, all motor cars that are private and imported and cleared through customs on or before December the 31st will therefore be taxed. Now, we are seeing where the government has this position, and one wonders what is going to happen after Christmas. So it's one thing to get a tax break before Christmas time as a Christmas gift, but it doesn't change the fact that after that, things will go according to plan. And therefore, you can expect your scheduled extent of increase when it comes to private vehicles and the importation of these vehicles or the ordering of these vehicles by private motorists. And so, whilst some people will argue that a tax break comes at a good time and it's the government caring and it's the government deciding that it's going to be magnanimous, others will argue that this really isn't the government being magnanimous at all, and that we should not be in a position in which the prices of vehicles could reach so high that people will think a tax break from them is public relations. And it's interesting that the question of this tax break has emerged at a time when the country has been discussing permanent tax breaks that members of parliament get. So the population is thrown a bone because those who are ordering cars on or before the date will experience the lower rates. But lo and behold, members of parliament who are sitting in the chamber of both houses don't have to think about a particular date on which they can get a car on or before at a cheaper rate. They have, within to their arrangements as members of parliament, and ongoing access to tax breaks for vehicles. So the rest of the country gets a bone that the majority of us cannot even enjoy. But lo and behold, when it comes to members of parliament, they still get ongoing tax breaks and ongoing tax breaks to the point of the removal of VAT and, of course, the other duties from their respective vehicles. So is this really the government being magnanimous, or is this a public relations approach to a critical issue and the government trying to find favor? The man who is giving the tax break is Colin Burt. And you would recall that of all of these stories of members of parliament having vehicles, he featured very prominently, with three extremely high-end vehicles being listed as purchased by him when it comes to the issues of the tax exemptions that are part of his package. So the man who was able to access millions of dollars in tax breaks, and the man who, of course, is able to access even further tax breaks because it is part of his package, has thrown the population a bone, as far as I'm concerned, so that the bit of us in the country that was thinking of purchasing a car on or before the end of the year can, of course, do so. Now, that is one issue. Continuing discussions are emerging on the issue of CAPE. And we have been speaking on this program, as the population has been speaking, on the issue of what happened with CAPE and what happened with the Caribbean Examination Council, CXC. Parents and teachers have protested outside Parliament, and the tutor wants the ministry to bear the cost of reviewing the scripts. And this is a major challenge that falls on the plate of Nyan Gatsby-Dolly. It is a challenge that has shown us that COVID-19 has impacted the wider Caribbean when it comes to our ability to adapt, and to adapt very quickly, and to adapt responsibly. And it means, therefore, that as we go forward, we must be mindful of the issues that occurred. And while parents and students and teachers are trying to resolve the ongoing CAPE matter, there's the question, are we safeguarded from future incidents like such as these? As far as I'm aware, CXC, if I'm not mistaken, CAPE 2, there are several sittings for those examinations during the course of the year. And you can sit them in January, you can sit them in June. At one time, you used to be able to sit them in September, October. I'm not sure if that happens anymore. But it means that for students who are incoming into the pool of people, it is a critical, critical issue. And it means, therefore, that CXC, having done what many would consider to be a disservice to the students from the recent sitting of the exam, stands vulnerable enough to commit the same disservice to students who are sitting future cycles unless the issues are not properly rectified. I say that, unless the issues are not properly rectified. And so we must ask ourselves, what is the position of our own Ministry of Education, Minister of Education, Trinidad and Tobago, when it comes to the rectifying of the various issues that occurred in Trinidad and that has occurred with respect to CAPE? And in that regard, we must pay close attention as to what the new minister will do and what response and adjustments CXC will make coming out of this entire fracas. I say this to say that as we continue trying to run a country and trying to run our lives where COVID-19 is concerned, it is clear that there is a substantial impact, and I made the point before, I'll make the point again, there's a substantial impact on our ability to execute whatever it is we have to execute, as well as whether we're executing healthcare, whether we're executing the provision of exam grades, whether we're executing the return to school, what have you. And it means, therefore, that for the past year or the past 8 months, the education sector in this country has really, really taken a beating. Whether it is a beating as a result of the closure of the schools or a beating as a result of the, not the closure, as a result of the stay-at-home policy, a beating as a result of the lack of laptops, a beating as a result of an abrupt switch to digital classes as opposed to in-person classes, person-to-person classes, it has taken quite a beating. So we'll see how the country continues to adapt to COVID-19 and how the Trinidadian population postures itself when it comes to the not COVID-19, when it comes to the CXC. Right now, the issue of COVID-19 continues to discuss or to be a point of discussion for a number of other industries and in a number of other situations again. And as the Prime Minister will address the nation very soon, We spoke about this slightly yesterday, but it's an important point to be made today again because of what's happening on the business page. TTBA, BAA, calls for 30-35% operating capacity for bars and restaurants. And that, of course, as Ashish mentioned, is the Trinidad and Tobago Beverage Alcohol Alliance. And if that is the case, then they are putting forward a proposal for the government to consider. And this proposal has to do with how bars can operate when it comes to having a level of organization within the physical space of the bar, and what that will mean for patrons, and what that will mean for the business that the bars can attract. And you have where they said, quote, they are proposing the space of licensed venues, entities with bars, restaurants with bars, and that we go 30-35% capacity. Now, the question of businesses surviving continues to be critical. And I don't think that there's anybody who has disputed the impact of COVID-19 on business. And I don't think that there's anybody who will acknowledge that the impact on business has created a ripple effect throughout the country. We must acknowledge that the impact on business has had an impact on employment. It has had an impact on job security. It has had an impact on revenues for the business itself. And we can go right down the wire explaining. Will the Prime Minister consider now, in the case of the bars and restaurants and bar industry, a 50% operating capacity for bars as is being proposed? And not just do you have the question of bars, you also have the question of restaurants as well. And you have the questions of large restaurants when it came to dining in. You have the questions of small restaurants when it comes to dining in. And whether or not we are in a position today to operate at those capacities. Now, while we question whether we are in a position to operate at those capacities, the main concern has been the culture of Trinidad and Tobago, in that if you give them an inch, we in Trinidad and Tobago love to take a yard. And so if the Prime Minister or the government decides that it's going to try to open back up any extent of business that has been closed mandatorily thus far, what is going to happen? Are we going to see, and we discussed it on the program, where persons will come in, take an inch, and grab a yard and go? Are we going to see restaurateurs and bars secretly or sneakily putting more than 50% of people in its physical space? Are we going to see where restaurants that offer dining services may also do the same? And so the culture of the Trinidadian and the behavior of the Trinidadian has to weigh very, very heavily. And I think that as much as organizations are calling on the government to reopen or to open up at expanded capacity, organizations also need to call on citizens and on their patrons to exercise a level of discipline and to exercise a level of order and understanding, so that when it comes to being tempted to do something out of the ordinance or against the rules, our citizens are not so tempted. And even if they are, they decide not to fulfill that temptation. Because it is that type of behavior that can, number one, very quickly cause complications. Number two, that can make other patrons uncomfortable. Number three, that can cause the bars itself to shut down and restaurants to shut down again. And number four, can cause the overall picture of the economy to be one of spread. And I think that is in the major, major concern, that the overall picture of the economy will be so affected. And so there are several stories in today's Trinidad Guardian, which I know we'll discuss as we take your calls on 627-3223, 625-2257, and your WhatsApp messages on 306-1065. for your WhatsApp messages.
Let's head to our phones. Hello, good morning.
A pleasant good morning, Satish, Kiran, Trinidad and Tobago. I have concerns with regard to the government, and particularly Colm Embert as Minister of Finance. That procedure that he is doing with regard to taxation for foreign used cars. I want to remind all, and you know, in saying that, there are many people who curse Basudeo Pandey all the time. They will never support him, blah, blah, blah. But it is because of Basudeo Pandey and his UNC government at that time who introduced foreign used cars in Trinidad and Tobago so that many of us who can't afford an expensive car, who can't afford a new car, we could drive a decent car. And I think I should remind people of that. But the thing is that what we notice happening here, whether it be creeping or galloping, is that this government intention is to destroy the foreign used car importation business so that certain elements in society will be able to use the monopoly once more on new cars. That there was a time, Satish, Kiran, you might be too young to remember that, but or to know that, but the fact is that many of us could not drive a good car. We had old cars, you know, throughout, and old cars dominated. And when Mr. Pandey came into power and he saw that and his caring for poor people and so on, that is how the used car business started off. And I thought that it was very, very important, but we will wait and see what is happening. Now, the gift to the nation is that we'll have a tax break until the rest of the year. But how many of us really can afford at this point with the virtual lockdown to purchase these cars before the end of the year? I am not quite sure how many people can afford it. We need to put our act together. We need to put a lot of things together. And I would support all business organizations in this country for standing up to government. Yes. In every sector, we should ensure that there is physical, social distances and so on, and all measures for safety. But open business. Do not allow businesses to stay closed. People are suffering, and the government does not care. Even those few people who would have gotten the grants and so on, that is not enough for a family to live on. And I hope that all members of government and all supporters of government will understand that people in this nation are suffering. Satish Kiran, I know my 2 minutes probably due. I call again. Thank you. Enjoy.
Thank you for your call. 627-3223, 625-2257. 29 minutes before 7. So we have our messages. One saying, Pascal Road Pipara has been without water for 3 weeks. Please make an appeal to WASA. Sorry to hear that. This government begging corporate Trinidad for laptops in this COVID time. They have shame. Good morning, guys. Great program. Well, I guess we'll wait and see what happens with that. So for some strange reason, Colm Embert thinks that by giving people a quote-unquote grace period makes him appear, or makes the government appear to be caring. I don't know if there's any other country in the world that is increasing the price of energy-efficient vehicles other than Trinidad and Tobago. And I had spoken about this in the 2015-2016 budget that Colm Embert presented. And I had asked the question, why does it seem that Trinidad and Tobago is heading in the opposite direction from everybody else? And maybe we need to ask ourselves the questions, who stands to benefit from what's taking place? I don't know. Hello, good morning.
Satish, morning, Kiran, listeners, Princess Tong here. Satish, with respect to the property tax that is going to take effect from next year, I want to make a public appeal to the government, Mr. Colm Embert, the Minister of Finance, that senior citizens 65 years and over who are on fixed income and so on, and persons with disabilities should be exempted from property tax. With respect to senior citizens on fixed income, Satish, if you impose this tax on this group of people, what you are really doing is forcing them to treat with their properties in a manner they may not wish to. And I am saying, while there is a deferral provision in the arrangement, you know, I feel these people, after working so hard and building their homes and so on and so on, should not be subjected to that kind of state high hand or hardness. I mean, this is so unfair.
Well, what it's going to force people to do is put their affairs in order long before their demise.
This is the point, and you're not sure whether those decisions will be made. I mean, a free will. People are going to be forced. It's like holding somebody to ransom.
Well, it's a catch-22 situation, because if you have elderly people, persons who are on fixed income, pension, whatever else, not paying the property tax as you're suggesting, and it's deferred, whoever gets that property after, it could be 10, 20 years, how much ever, that tax is going to be accumulated, and you have to pay it in a lump sum.
Yeah, but more than that, Satish, what I'm saying, persons at that age, in deferring the tax, they have to transfer their properties, and we're not sure if in that situation they will be transferring to somebody who they may really wish to do it for. And I'm saying that is so unfair to people, senior citizens especially. So I'm calling for to reconsider a special exemption for senior citizens 65 years and over, and persons with disabilities who own properties. I think it is a worthy and it is a just case. Thank you much, Princess Dong.
Thank you so much for your call. Well, the property tax is one element of an increased financial burden on people living with fixed incomes. You're going to have a cost increase in everything else, and that is going to trickle down to them as well. So there, how much ever they get, 3,005 or whatever it is going to be whittled away even further when you have businesses sending up their costs. And some of these people, they have to travel, so they have, you know, the transportation, taxi fare and all that kind of thing to worry about. Everything going to go up. As much as we are being told that don't worry yourself, it could be minuscule, and don't expect no increase in gas price and everything else, I don't trust the word of people who have said to us they're not going to shut down petrol, and they did. And this gas thing that we're going to implement from January is a very, very uncertain mechanism. Mm. And they talk about protection. I don't have much faith in it. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, sir. That's a big one. You know, the property tax, right? The opposition position was, had they won the election, they would have an issue of property tax. But with that being, they did not win the election, they need to have a position on how it sits on it right now, because at the end of the day, the government have they decided to go in for it. So you can't keep your position that if you were there, you would not have you would not have had the property tax. So you need at this point in time to come together, have a consensus among us and decide, give a suggestion on how it should be instituted, because they want to start with the residential customers, which a lot of people think that is unfair. So they need to have a position right now, because I mean the government in power has going forward, and you can't just sit and say, well, I would not have instituted it. You need to have a position, because I mean you are the voice of against anything at the public thing that's unfair to them or unjust to them. You are the voice to suggest another method or have a way of going forward to the public. And my contribution for now. Bye.
For your call.
I don't know. I haven't been listening to the debate, so I don't know what the position is on property tax, other than it should not be implemented at this point in time. Mm. I don't know if there's been a revision of the opposition's position. I know that they've said that now is not the time to implement the property tax, and they've given their reasons. And that has been countered by the Prime Minister, saying people are set a house and business and land and thing all over the place that they can't account for. And that is why all the wicked people who have plenty of money don't want to pay property tax, so that the poor people in this country could get what the state meant to give them.
It's not interesting that is the Prime Minister's position on the resistance to the property tax. Because when the Prime Minister himself was in opposition as the lone PNM MP in opposition, having been fired by Keith Rowley, he spoke at the time against property taxes. And he spoke about it in the context of the taxes being burdensome.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. They need you to pay property tax so that they could subsidize the housing authority, where the landlord is the government, and it is the landlord that pays the property tax. So they will take your property tax and pay property tax for the housing authority, so that people who have those houses, and traditionally not Indian people, not UNC people, mostly Afro-PNM, that's just a glaring fact that nobody wishes to deny. It's so glaring. So basically one community paying taxes so that other people could live in subsidized housing. And then also there's these social welfare communities. They need to feed them. They come and stand up by the side of the road when there's a project by a private contractor or the government, URP or CPEP or what have you, and put my name down. And okay, well, what you could do? And then they lift up their shirt and you see a gun there, so you just write their name down, and when it's time for pay, they collect pay. All these things have been widely reported. And then they don't pay for electricity. You can drive by and see the lines, the wires attached by hooks to the TNTEC lines, you know, and 15 and 20 houses have one single water connection. They branch it off. Nobody's saying you can't give your neighbor some water, but these are permanent installations. And WASA and TNTEC and Bread Van and this and that and the other can't even go there. They need money to mine these people. Right? And then there's all the contracts. They need to power wash the stadium. After they take a stadium costing $250 million and spend $1.5 billion to finish, to complete, now they need to power wash it. You know, so this is what they need you to pay your property tax for. And if you don't pay, they will threaten you in a million different ways. They will threaten to sell your house. They will threaten to have you, well, all the penalties they can impose on you. And the dirtiest part of this whole project is they can start collecting after they have enrolled 50% of the properties on their list. But with 50%, I am 100% sure they're going to send people down here in Durbasa Trace. But how many people are they going to send in their social welfare PNM strongholds? Are we sure they're going to go there and pick up any information? All they need is 50%, and they could get that in the traditional UNC Indian areas. So that's how the thing is going to be done. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Satish. Good morning, Karen. You see, what is calling now said there. Anyway, what I am saying is this. Everybody in general, speaking in general, that everybody have their way of thinking and their conviction of certain things. However, my personal conviction is this government presently that is in, ruling here right now, carrying on here, they have done the kind of things that people would normally say they have rigged the election to be in the position that they are in right now. And day by day, every day, each day that passed, they are ruling with a heavy hand, never to ease upon the burdens of people. I've seen recently in certain countries, well, you know, like in certain newscasts and so on, Al Jazeera to be exact, that a lady is begging and she's saying, crying and saying that I wish I was dead, but what about my children will have to undergo the same thing. Every day throughout the world is so much a problem than pain, anxiety and suffering. And we are going to get that here because the people in power, they doesn't have no feeling for the underprivileged people. And like Mr. Durbasa Trace normally said, that these people here, they're ruling again without mercy. They are favoring one people of, against the other. That is, I find, personally, me, I find that is not fair at all. But as long as this government is in power, we will have to bear with this kind of a marginalization. Thanks.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
You need to get this contribution you made 5 minutes ago on television and as wide as possible locally and foreign. That is one of the best contributions you made. I have none to make right now because I think what I'm going to say. Get it out, Durbasa Trace. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your call. I think one of the interesting elements of the property tax discussion is the fact that the government only needs 50% of the
overall population.
Yeah, to be a part of it in order to enact the tax, and that's worrisome because of the face value of it. That if you have 50% of the people alone on the system, that means only half of the people are going to be paying. It seems very unfair that 50% could trigger the collection of this tax.
And that is no different from the land and building taxes as they previously existed. Do you recall that one of the criticisms of the current land and building tax system was that not everybody was paying the tax, and that only a roughly 50% or less than 50% of people who owned land and buildings in this country were paying that tax?
Hello, good morning.
Hey, sad morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Why we have a far bigger problem than property tax in this country, We back to the 1987-88 period, where the banks have all the money and the people unemployed. And Frank Bassotti had said, it's not practical to take the money out of the bank and get people to start spending again. We back to that period right now, whether they realize it or not, you know. I went to the bank to make a withdrawal yesterday afternoon, Republic Bank in Twin City. They have a big flyers. Loan sale, they're begging people to borrow. How are they going to borrow? How are they going to put up a collateral? All them PH cars that you see working in the mall and you ain't seeing none. I drive through Cane Farm Road, I shock. I get from the bank to Takarigua Main Road in 5 minutes. Right? Last year, thing is, they had to be blowing on for them to move on by the traffic light. None of them, all of them disappear. You know why? The mall is shutting down. Nobody, no work for bull pullers now. We have a far more serious problem than property tax. So after property tax, what are they going to do after? When the NAR came into power, was real trouble. We know that. And when they bring the cola, really believe this country and went to Canada, you know, refugee status, and they accept them, And by 1987-88, because of that, the country became bankrupt. This is why when Kamala came, she took off the VAT. You have to leave people with money to spend. You might recall, I tell you 2 years ago, firing people to save money, the economics of mad people. And this is what this government have done. All Carney Green and Batiste, why waste good money? Take 10 million US that didn't belong to them. From Carney Green, people try to employ themselves and bring in foreign exchange. Remember all that? These people just don't have a clue what they're doing, boy. This country, by now and let me say Christmas, you got to see back on all their boys at this. Property tax is joke. Thousands of people going home again before Christmas. You can remember I tell you that, Thanks for the call.
Well, the WASA report, The WASA report is expected in a week or two into November. So
you can well imagine the type of Christmas WASA workers may or may not have.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish. Good morning, Q up here. You know, my heart really goes out to some of these students who sat their examination and are now basically in a tailspin because of something that the examination council did or didn't do. Satish, are you aware that you can review the results?
When you say review the results, I don't understand how it works, you know.
Well, you can review the results if you feel as though you've been
given
a bad hand.
You mean the actual results that you
Yeah, okay. You could review it.
Your scores.
The catch with it is that you have to pay a fee. The fee is $30 and not $30. It is in $30. Anyhow, the Prime Minister of Barbados, I guess her heart went out to her people. And she has decided that anybody who wants to review the results that or challenge the CXC, she's going to pay that $30 for each of the candidates. Remember, it's $30 and persons wouldn't just sit one examination alone, you sit about seven or six or seven something. So $30 multiplied by seven, a significant amount. And Mia Motley has chosen to decided to underwrite that cost for each of the parents. And I tell you something, Satish. If I was from Barbados right now, I would feel very secure. I would feel very pleased. I would feel an overwhelming sense of confidence that my affairs, my interest is being sought by my leader. You know the statement she used, Satish? I quote, Bajans don't beg. That's the words that she used when she described her reasoning for intervening on behalf of her citizens. Bajans don't beg. I would feel really good if I was from Barbados right now, but I'm not from Barbados, Satish. I'm from Trinidad and Tobago, a place people describe as not a real place.
We just beg. Apart from government, prime minister, everybody, we just beg.
Yeah. I look at this, eh? Because I am fighting, all of us are fighting for our business. We're fighting for our salaries. We're fighting for our jobs. We're fighting for our sons, our daughters. We're fighting for our way of life right now, Satish and Kiran. And our leaders are fighting for tax exemptions. That's what's going on right now, you know. So when you get chance, Satish, hold up the two leaders, Miriam Atlee on one side and our leader on the next side, and tell me who is chalk and tell me who is cheese. Agon.
That would be an interesting discussion. I think that's a very good analogy, or that's a very good way of putting it. While they fight for their tax exemptions, we in this country really are fighting for our way of life, for our way of life.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, morning to Dan Tobago the Bellman. And a special good morning to my former Prime Minister. Morning, Karen.
Good morning, good morning.
Morning, Satish. Satish, as an ordinary person, I don't know for what reason, but sometimes I just get myself for the bigger people and them. I just be amongst them. I just listen to what they have to say, the behavior, and so on. I try to understand the mechanics of the game. Satish, he doesn't know. I haven't said he doesn't know, but on the radio, you have to know what to say, how to say it, and how to code yourself. I know you know. I sit with some people, and that is the conversation that goes on. That is why it is called this tax, the Indian property tax. I'm talking from experience here. Indian property tax. If you hear what these people are saying, what these people are number, there is this, there is that, there is the other, there is all sorts of things. How they get this, how they get that. Well, you know, I always fighting against. Sometimes I come up and say, well, you know, these are the people and them. Not everybody went in a different direction. I grew up amongst them and so on. They plant tomatoes, okra, car, Riley, and all sort of thing. They used to save the money in what we call the fireside. They used to save their money and they do the thing. They send a train to school because I understand. I used to be there another couple of them when he used to talk about the movements and what he wanted his people to do. You understand? The historian never used to say that. And I know exactly what is going on. This property tax, it is belongings to me. One or two of us would have to pay. One or two of us. Because through opposition, I placed myself in a position that today I could pay to help the government to run this country. I should say government, to help the PNN to run the country. Yes, sir? So this property tax belongs to the majority of one part of the country. And they insist, no matter what you do, Satish and Kiran, they would want to make sure. But I will want to close by saying, if you kill the goose that laid the golden egg, something could happen. You don't kill it just so. Watch what's going on, Trinidad and Tobago. The property tax, it belongs to me. It's called the Indian property tax. Have a blessed day.
Thank you for your call. So whether it's the Indian property tax or the African property tax, at the end of the day, more than likely, everybody going to have to pay the property tax.
And not just at the end of the day, but there are technicalities that the public system can use, the public service can use, to justify ruling it out in one area and not necessarily ruling it out in others. And these justifications might range from national security concerns to what the contractors would do on the day, to issues with the staff, to all kind of things. And they can use so to justify a sub-system or a subculture of political bias. And I think that is one of the real concerns that the Minister of Finance and the government as a whole has failed to address, or have failed to address, the question of fairness and the fear or the skepticism that the rollout of the property taxes will not be a fair rollout and that certain groups or people will be targeted over others.
But when you have a mechanism, a provision in the bill, as was announced, to make it mandatory to give your information, how do you end up with a situation where some people are left out and others are willfully included. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning. I'm calling from San Francisco. And this morning I just listened to Bellman, and I want to go and say I fully endorse what he has said, and is exactly what he has said is happening in the country. So, Bellman, keep going, and I wish you all health and strength to keep going. Thank you, Mr. Bellman.
627-3223-625-2257. It's about 4.5 minutes again before the top. We've got news for you then. The morning panchayat poll. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish. Good morning, Kiran. Good morning, good all morning. The listeners. Satish, in 1995, was the tax, was an Indian tax or African tax? As well, tax was people who have their house resident and they own the house. I know about you paying tax. My mother, I know my father used to go in the warden office in Trudapuna and pay the same tax, the house tax. When I come up here and I build my home, they came and they assessed my house. They didn't walk in the house. They stand up outside, and I used to go up and remind the warden office and pay my tax. If when this tax was stopped, that is what bring the whole confusion. If they had just continued what we all used to pay according to the kind of home you have at that time, and then have dialogue with the opposition at that time, we wouldn't be in this mess today. And if it is, I own my property here, and I am being exempted from paying the tax. And if I give whoever it is, they get the property, so why they can't continue paying the tax? Thank you very much, and have a blessed and wonderful day.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. And good morning to my only friend in Maruga called the Bellman. You know, I will tell you something, Satish. We always ache and pain about living in a developed society and how it's supposed to be properly structured, and we're all supposed to be responsible citizens doing the right things and all of that. But it would seem to me that some people just does not understand the concept that whenever it is you have anything done in the country, whether it is the fixing of the road, the Grant Road in Rusilak, or whether it is picking up your rubbish or fixing your school, it costs money. And those monies come from the consolidated funds. If it is that you don't have the money in it to do it, then it cannot get done. And those things are being done right now in the absence of the property tax. If everybody pay their property taxes, then we are not going to have that type of an issue. I do not know where Bellman came up that this is a Chinese property tax and only Chinese would have to pay property tax. I don't know where you get this idea from. I think whether you're Syrian or you're Lebanese, whatever it is, you still have to pay your property taxes, because at the end of the day, you all live here. We would assume that you're not living in an igloo. You're living in a house somewhere along the line, and you have to pay your property taxes. If you're renting from a landlord, he may very well put up the rent a little more because he says you have to pay property tax now. Everybody has to pay property taxes. It is not for Martians, Bellman. It is for Trinidadians, regardless of your hue, your color, your crazy. Listen, Bellman, you are very difficult to deal with. Gentlemen, have a nice morning.
Well, if it were that easy... then why couldn't they have forced non-compliant owners of property to pay the land and building taxes? We were not able to enforce compliance with the previous tax scheme. How are we going to guarantee that it'll be the full extent of compliance with this new property tax scheme?
This is the Morning Panchayat on Akash Vani 106.5 FM. It's time for the Morning Poll. The morning poll question focuses on the front page story from our Guardian newspaper. The announcement by our Minister of Finance that there's a grace period for persons wishing to purchase vehicles, new and foreign used, until December 31st. And the new measures announced in the budget will kick in from January 1st, 2021. The announcement was made yesterday via a press release. The Finance Minister said Cabinet deliberated on it and they have agreed on this position. It comes following intense criticism of the measures announced, more so from the Foreign Used Car Dealers Association. There were some comments made by the opposition and by the public as well about the decision of the government to increase taxation of vehicles, new and used, and to decrease the age of foreign used vehicles to 3 years. Some have suggested that the announcement made yesterday by the Minister of Finance was intended at smoothing over some ruffled feathers and quelling some of the dissenting voices, some of the opposition, the criticism of the measures announced by the government in the budget. And that's where our poll question lies. Do you think yesterday's announcement by the Finance Minister is intended at doing damage control following criticism of measures announced in the budget? Yes or no? 627-3223, 625-2257. Question once more. Do you think yesterday's announcement by the Finance Minister is intended at doing damage control following criticism of measures announced in the budget? Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Satish and Kiran. Davey said yes.
Thank you, Davey. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Sarah. Good morning to Kiran. I'm calling from Edinburgh and I'm saying yes.
Thank you for your call. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Okay, I'm sorry, we didn't get no hang up the phone. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Eldorado, yes.
Thank you, Eldorado. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Pinal DBC, yes.
Thank you. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Barnav, yes.
Thank you, Barnav. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Claxton B. Yes.
Thank you, Claxton B. Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Satish and Kiran. This is Freeport and Freeport said yes.
Thank you. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Definitely yes, Guarakara.
Thank you, Guarakara. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Pinal record for yes.
Thank you. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Okay, I'm not here today. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Lakwasov Freeport say yes.
Thank you for your call. 8 minutes after seven. Do you think yesterday's announcement by the Finance Minister is intended at doing damage control following criticism of measures announced in the budget? Hello, good morning.
Morning, yes.
Thank you. Hi, good morning.
Yeah, morning, the Bellman. Definitely, definitely, yes.
Thank you. Hello, good morning.
Sangrigrandi, yes.
Thank you, Sangrigrandi, for voting with us as well. 627-3223, 625-2257. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Princess Town, say yes.
Thank you, Princess Town. Hi, good morning.
Hello, good morning. This is Plomita. Plomita says definitely yes.
Thank you, Plomita, for voting with us as well. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning. Woodland here. Definitely yes.
Thank you. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Tunapuna say.
Did you get Tunapuna's vote? Hello? Okay, Tunapuna, for some strange reason, we didn't hear your vote. Hello, good morning.
Pleasant morning, Trinidad and Tobago. And sufficient grand penalty, definitely, yes.
We're looking for our final call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, morning. And once again, yes.
Thank you. And that wraps up this morning's edition of the Morning Panchayat Poll. Got your results in just a bit. Stay with us. Minutes after seven. Good morning to you if you're now joining us in a special hello to those people locked onto us via the internet. Before we went to the break, we conducted the morning poll. We had asked the question, do you think yesterday's announcement by the Finance Minister is intended at doing damage control following criticism of measures announced in the budget, and our results?
100% of all callers said yes, absolutely. I do believe that if the Finance Minister wanted to put it in the budget, and structure it in a certain way, he could have done so. The fact that he's structuring it after the fact means that maybe it's something since then he has had to reconsider. And one of the biggest developments since then is this conversation on members of parliament and their vehicles and the tax exemptions that they enjoy. So I think that the finance minister is most certainly trying to make it seem as though he has a heart, or he has a conscience, or he's trying to root for a small man for Christmas, something like that. But it does not take away the fact that whether these taxes come before or after Christmas, they will come. And it doesn't take away from the fact that they are coming for poor people like me and you, while people like him continue to enjoy, for the rest of their parliamentary term, significant tax exemption. Now, as I've said, I really don't mind politicians and members of parliament, more so state officials, being given tax exemptions. I don't mind because you have jobs, you have high-level executive jobs, and therefore you must be able to offer a level of high, some kind of high-level remuneration. But these are not jobs in the private sector, and the money of Trinidad and Tobago and the business of Trinidad and Tobago is not a private one. And so it is incumbent on the administration and on politicians to not just do what is legal, and the VAT exemptions continue to be a legal legal entitlement, but to now do what is ethical. And given the state of the economy and given the issues that people must now face as a result of the hardship imposed by the PNM and the hardship imposed by COVID-19, it is important that these politicians move from the realm of what is legal to what is ethical, and therefore consider their entitlements in the context of the overall national burden that is being experienced right now, and their own role in the sharing of that burden. It's 16 minutes after the hour of 7 a.m. in Trinidad and Tobago, and you are listening to the Morning Panchayat. Let's see who's on the line. Good morning.
A pleasant good morning once more, Kiran, Satish, Trinidad and Tobago.
Good morning.
Kiran, I really have problems in this country, and let's analyze this thing. One wonders if it is that squatters, especially in the Lavendale and Silas area, are going to be included in this tax system, this property tax. I really have concerns. And the reason I'm saying that is because of the fact that many of them do not pay water rate, they do not pay electricity bills. And I have spoken to several people from TNTech, and they tell you they are in fear to go to Lavendale to disconnect these people. I wish anybody could tell me otherwise. And therefore, these people, I do not feel that they are going to pay the taxes. That I would wish somebody tell me otherwise. Anyway, Kiran, Satish, the majority of persons in this country work for less than $6,000 a month. And if you analyze it, you talk to people, they will tell you that. As a matter of fact, there's a huge amount of people who work for minimum wage, and a lot of people who just above minimum wage and so on. If we are to calculate that, people working for $20 an hour, 8 hours a day, that is $160, that is $3,200 a month. Many of them have rent to pay. They still have their bills to pay. Otherwise, they have children to send to school and so on. How are these people surviving on these high food prices and on transportation prices and so on? How are they going to pay property tax if they have a small house, whatever it is? I think it is really, really difficult in these people. And is this caring government really caring for people? When people like Eric and them call and talk and say that nonsense, I am saying, bear in mind there are thousands, there are hundreds of thousands of people suffering with these kind of figures, and they cannot afford to mind their children and themselves. How are they going to afford to pay more taxes? Somebody have to answer me. I wish we can. And I'll tell you something, Kiran. You know, a lot of people, they want a job in regional corporation. The salary at the regional corporation for the laborers and so on, you know what they get? $235 a day. So it's not to say that it's a big set of money. There are people who are very qualified. As a matter of fact, at Shawana's Borough Corporation, there are a couple of people with a master's. They're working for $6,000 a month. There are many lawyers that I know, they are applying for jobs as search clerk and so on. It is not as easy as this government is making it out to be. But what they are doing here is working administrative figures. Okay, the country needs this, and if we to charge this amount of tax, we will. But it is not practical. And I hope that somebody listens, and I hope that Dr. Rowley, if it is that he really cares about people, that he'll listen to this conversation and change his system, change the entire process, and let people be in a position that we can survive. And finally, before I leave, taxpayers' money have been spent in Tobago to repair some hotels and so on. We will not, if we will do a feasibility study, tourism in this country will not improve in the next 4 to 5 years, if so quick. And hear what, Kiran, what tourism dollar does Tobago bring? If we look at the history over the years, Tobago have not brought the amount of money that we are now spending, and I think it's a waste of taxpayers' money at this point in time. If the country and the oil price was high and so on, when money was no problem, fine, I have no issue with that. But the fact is that now when things are so difficult, you are spending that kind of money to help people to repair hotels and so on. As a matter of fact, Trinidad have more tourist destination than Tobago. We just don't market it well. And how much money is the government giving to hoteliers in Trinidad? I have not heard of any. So I do not think that we are on the right footing, but we must not forget Dr. Rowley is Tobagonian, and maybe that's the reason he's spending money for his friends, family, and whomsoever. I don't know. I would love to know. Satish Kiran, I thank you.
Thank you for your call. I have absolutely no problem with Dr. Rowley investing in Tobago, especially if he's Tobagonian. I believe, you know, you've had a political career. When you become the prime minister, you know, you may want to be a bit more endearing to those people who are part of your background and part of your journey. So I have no problems with Dr. Rowley investing and investing heavily in Tobago. What I have a problem with is that investment must not be seen as sporadic and as politically inclined, because then it may not be tied into an overall developmental agenda for the country. So if it is you wanted to establish a plan for Tobago and there are specific things you wanted to achieve, and so every cent that you spend is linked towards the fulfillment of a plan, then no problem. Almost every cent you spend is linked to the fulfillment of a plan, then no problem. Likewise for different areas or different issues in Trinidad. So I really have no challenge with Dr. Rowley spending money behind Tobago because he's from Tobago. What I do have a problem with is the general spending of any money that is in which the spending is not aligned to a developmental plan, and in which over time you don't measure how you spend and what you spend on to the fulfillment of pre-established objectives. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Kiran. Good morning, Satish and listeners. You know, when it is you sit in government opposition as an MP, you are still part of the process of our country. We all know that throughout the country, people were unemployed. People got laid off. People's businesses were closed down. And each MP should know that, okay then, 5,000 persons in my constituency lost their job. At the ministry, they will have those applications if those people apply for the grant, the unemployment relief grant or whatever they call it. And if it is, person say, well, okay then, I am unemployed. I have no means of paying the taxes. And if it is, each MP should send in a petition. So much people in my constituency who are not working and don't have any means of income, give those people a break. It will have many people who are employed and getting fat salary. So why it is they can't pay? If it is we as citizens asking to help and assist, we have to look at it across the board. Who could pay? Because those people who are chairman of boards, who are ministers, they're getting paid with the tax money. Not their money, the tax money. And the tax, when we all was employed, we used to contribute. When we all go and buy things at the hardware and the different stores, we pay taxes. So if it is now, many people, you know, and I know, and the country know, are unemployed. They're not working. If it is you have an MP and they say, let your MP work for you, let them do these things to assist and help the people who are not working and really cannot afford it. Kiran, thank you very much and have a blessed and wonderful day.
Thank you very much, my dear. Let's see who else is there. Good morning.
Yeah, morning to Bellman again. Now, Kiran, Eric, this morning I made a statement. I want you to analyze this. We all have to pay. There's a voice says, many are called and few are chosen. All, it will be written on the books. We all have to pay.
That is only written on the book. But it's only the call. They would pay? I say no. Many the chosen would have to pay. You understand me, Eric? So on the record of the book, on the PNM statute, I don't say no government again. Because it's a PNM. It's not a government that runs in this country. Government that runs country, so. So, Eric, you understand me. And what Tobago wants, the minister, the big man said, what Tobago wants, Tobago will get. So, Eric, remember the statement. Many are called, but few are chosen. The call is recorded on the book, but they would not have to pay. The chosen would have to pay. Analyze it from there, Eric. Have a blessed one.
Thank you very much for your call, Bellman. Good morning.
Hey, Kevin. I listened to Bellman and set me to thinking, am I? When this PNM government came into power, not this time, the first time around, what are the first things Paris and Rari do? Because when they attack the Hindu community about child marriage, now you come into run our country instead of trying to put things in place for people to work and enjoy their life. You go straight at the Hindu community, cause a raging controversy between Satmaraj and everybody. Right? So what's his agenda? Then after that, they went to Nima Koya Savannah during the Diwali celebrations. He and Stuart Chung and Randall Mitchell. And they keep their own Diwali. Right? And Krong a black queen now. You're asking yourself, what are you doing all this for? And then he come in with this thing, if you can't prove if you own your property, well, they go take it and blah, blah, blah. I want to tell him something. Most of those lands, especially in the southern areas, people acquired that under the British, right? And Eric Williams take over from 1956. So what he want to say, Eric Williams let people run a racket through this country all them years? Let me tell you something, eh? You couldn't even drive a nail in a piece of wood without tongue and country approval in them times, you know. Not a nail in a piece of wood. So everything you see built all over this country, all in the south, is legitimate, you know. And all the warden offices have records of those things. So unless they go and destroy them records, to say you own this, and I tell you, the onus is on you to prove what you have. This is crazy, boy. And so, Mr. Eric, all the measures that this present administration have put into place so far, you tell me where it has amounted to. Ruination of the country. Total demise, this country is on the brink of collapse, boy. So property tax ain't gonna help this country, you know. How much are you gonna collect? What are you gonna do for the country? Nothing. They have not put one plan in place that has borne fruit for this country. On the contrary, it was the total demise of the country. Check it, you go see, Kieran. I'll go on, thanks.
Thank you very much for your call, 627-3223, 625-2257. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Karen, I'm here. You know, this place, you can't run a country on deception and propaganda. You know, I don't know. But I am saying, what guarantee, you know, that I have that the money, if the government collects the property tax that is going to be spent in my area, I am the people who belong to, let's say, local government area. What guarantee? Where is the infrastructure? Where is the legislation to ensure that the monies that are collected in any constituency, whether it be Pinal or whether it be in Digo Martin, whether it be wherever it is, the money collected from the burgesses in those areas would be used for the improvement or the uplifting of those communities in terms of road and the necessary infrastructure, cleaning, sanitation, and whatnot. There's no guarantee. It goes into the consolidated fund, and they take it, and I think the opposition has a matter before the court now, where they were saying that certain PNM constituency were getting allocation way above that of the opposition constituency. So the fact remains, when they put it into that consolidated fund, they distribute it, and they put it in the areas where it goes for one thing, to buy votes. To provide employment, temporary employment, you see PEP, you this and that and what the other, for their constituents. That is all. That is no productivity, no nothing. So I am saying until the infrastructure is put in place, the legislation, there is a purpose, there is some formula worked out in terms of how the money is going to be allocated and to whom and which constituency. I am saying that is the groundwork. Don't come and tell me you want tax and put it in the consolidated fund and you're going to build Port Ntoko, you're going on Bay Road in Valencia to nowhere, you're going to buy a set of old boat and pack, have it pack up down wherever it is. I mean, this is madness. And the formula is there. You could go to England because you're going to England to bring police. Go to England to see when they introduce the poll tax and how it works in England. Don't come and tell me about, and you're putting it into the consulate and you're using it as you want. Tobago has how many, what percentage of the national budget? Those constituencies ought to get their percent. Just how you work it out there, work it out for the constituencies in Trinidad and Tobago. I want to see, you know, more than just this nonsense about tax and road to, and the propagandists all about the place talking about you get better road, you get cleaning, how you get that, and how you... No. The basic thing, put the infrastructure in place, put the legislation in place, work out the formula in terms of how the money is going to be allocated, who's going to collect the money and whatnot, and then you come with your tax. But don't put it in no consolidated fund where you could just dip and spend as you want. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. Good morning.
Good morning, Kieran and callers.
Good morning, good morning.
One of the problems that we are having in this country with the taxes and other monies and whatever the charges to recover this country, financially wise, is because the style of politics by the opposition at the day versus that of the PNM. The PNM still continue move along and they don't be concerned about using racial remarks from time to time. And like recently here, you know, they would follow one after the other when Dr. Ravi will say, what are you worried about the property tax for? Is who have property? Who have property will pay, not who don't have? Another speaker will come and tell you, I want to spoil your show this morning, who have the property pointing in one direction. And we need somebody from the opposition. This is how the opposition party got strong. When Mr. Pandey was in his heydays, together with Ramnath and Nizam Mohammed and others, they used to call a spade. We don't have that now. We, the opposition, trying to pretty up everything to suit the PNM, like when the last Mr. Nizam Mohammed, he came from the days of Mr. Pandey and him. When he told the Prime Minister then that there's an imbalance in the police force, what she did, she didn't correct that, she didn't move on that, she fired the man. This is nonsense. All that has been said on this station this morning and others about the property tax, it is one-sided. We need our people in authority to say, to get up and say, those older people like Pinal and Carrie Central and so on will, and Bocaro will know what I'm saying. Mr. Pandey and his team, they were hated by some people in this country when they talk the truth, when he referred to the parasitic oligarchy. But gradually, over time, people saw what they were talking about, and the UNC party started a bill. And again, entry in the East-West Corridor by speaking issues, not by being racial, no. So now, somebody in authority here, apart from the callers on the station, the opposition, past or present, or you pay somebody, come if you are able, to talk the truth. Call a spade, that's how the UNC party was built. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your call. I very much remember that parasitic oligarchy comment. It was one of the more memorable comments that Mr. Pandey would have made during his tenure as Prime Minister. But we'll discuss these and other issues as we do return. Good morning, Panchayat, right on Akash Vani, 106.5 FM. Let's see who's on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, you would remember Jo Newell Williams and her secret scholarships for people to learn to cut hair and all do graphic design and that kind of thing, very simple things that you could learn at home or in a saloon somewhere. People got scholarships, some large sums of money, some small sums, and so on. But when Devant Maraj asked for the list, well, first of all, nobody knew about it. It was just employees, children, and people connected to people and so on who got the information, and it was taxpayers' money. When Devant Maraj inquired about it and he was not given the list, he inquired under the Freedom of Information Act and so on, and eventually he went to court and he got the list, and it was over 90-something percent African names. When we say African names in Trinidad, we mean non-Indian names. People have European names, which we identify with African people in Trinidad. And nobody denied that that was the case. Yes, there's that little slippage, like you might name, you might have a name like yours, Kieran, and you are not, you are Indian, right? And we have that, but your title is, your surname is Samaru.
So, a combination, you know, of names.
But there would be that you could have been named Kieran Best because your family wanted the best for you and so on. And we get that little bit of slippage. Now, I, having taught in the primary school system for many years, I have seen a lot of names and I've seen the faces, and there's a 99% correlation with an Indian name and an Indian person. And if it isn't an Indian name, 99% of the time, it's not an Indian person. So what I'm saying is, he was right in making that assumption. It proved to be correct. But that secret scholarship concept, that secret funding concept of the PNM supporting what they consider to be their own, their core support, their reason for being, that's going to continue. That was done in the time of plenty, you know, in the time of Mr. Manning, in his second period in government, when he had lots of money. They still felt the need to carve out a bit of it and keep it exclusively for Africans. So I'm saying that now that there's scarcity, that is going to get worse. It's normal that when there's scarcity, people form themselves into little groups, little clans, and so on, and they try to protect. And now that the PNM is in power, we have to be more alert for that kind of thing. They are going to create all kinds of schemes, legal and illegal, legitimate and illegitimate, and you are going to get that. And it's going to increase tensions because the young people nowadays, like yourself, Kieran, you all are not going to tolerate that. My generation barely tolerated it. The generation before me learned to live with it. My generation barely tolerated it. And your generation is not going to stand for this nonsense at all. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call, Debasa Chase, as usual. 627-3223-625-2257 and your WhatsApp messages on 3061065. Good morning. Good morning. Hello. Well, somebody's on the line, but he put his...
Hello. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Kieran, you remember at one point in time they advertised how much $1 million these people in this housing complex are not paying rent?
Which housing complex is that?
Well, that's the HEC housing complex.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, if you introduce tax, you feel these people go pay it by? Just imagine their rent was just about $15-$20 a month. I want Eric to hear this, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Then everybody has to pay his tax.
Well, I think at some point the government said that those people who were HEC renters would not pay the property tax, but
the property tax.
But that if they were HGC homeowners, meaning that they were paying a mortgage for a HGC house, then they will have to pay.
Yeah, well, the homeowners are different to the one who rents in, like in these complex, these housing complex.
Agreed.
So we have to pay for them. They're living for free. You understand? And then in some cases where you see they had this alligator clamp onto the electricity wire and water, they're teaching the water for free, them living free. You understand? That's the way to go. Thank you. I'll go on this.
Okay, thank you very much for your call. 627-3223-625-2257 on your WhatsApp messages. As a matter of fact, we have a number of WhatsApp messages which we should look at, and we look at them just after this call. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Kieran.
Good morning, Kieran.
Here again. I just wanted to add on to what that gentleman was saying about the Heritage and Stabilization Fund. Countries like Barbados and Jamaica don't have the facility of that thing. And it represents an opportunity for errors to be made that have been made in the past to be corrected and give Trinidad and Tobago ability to start with a clean slate. And it would hurt me if the people who preside over that fund are allowed to use it in a manner that is irresponsible, and that they don't account to the people of Trinidad and Tobago for its expenditure. And I'm seeing that. And, you know, it is for, it needs to be used for economic stimulation. It needs to be used for social development. It needs to be put into those places. It needs to be used to find opportunities for Trinidad and Tobago. You know that Guyana is growing strawberries, Kieran?
No, Guyana is growing strawberries.
Guyana, that has this amount of wealth that the economy is set to grow by 75%. They're growing strawberries. What is Trinidad and Tobago doing? No, the Heritage and Stabilization Fund should not be used as a political instrument. And I'm seeing that many of the decisions that are made about how to use it have a political tinge to it. I give you an example. That payment that was made in Tobago for the properties along the Tobago airport expansion, that payment was made at a particular time. And I want to tell you that was a politically sensitive time that payment was made. And I would like to know what was the motivation that went into that payment at that particular time. Because I feel as though it was made to show up, to bolster somebody's economic political station, and to make sure that they were re-elected. And our Heritage and Civilization ought not to be used in such a way. Now, I would like legislation that somebody would be able to say to the government, listen, you need to account for how you spend this money. You need to account for why it was taken out in the first place, and whether or not it was used for the purpose in which you had taken it out. I would like legislation, and perhaps the person that you interviewed after it, maybe you could enter into the discussion about that, about it, because it's a terribly important instrument, and I wouldn't like whoever is in charge of it to use it in a wild and crazy manner. I thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. Good morning.
One Nation. Mr. Satish, Mr. Kiran Akaswami. Pleasant good morning. Namaste, Sitaram, Assalamu alaikum. Buenos dias to one and all. Gentlemen, a brief contribution as usual to do with due respect to one and all. Now, Mr. Kiran, my topic this morning, my concern is about the government and the opposition. We all supposed to know leaders are being paid, guaranteed food on their tables, and none could deny this. The government's job, their job is to command and control things, you know, controlling the country affairs. Secondly, the government, their administration in the cabinet have to be wise in thinking, because there is regulation with direction to lead this country. Coming to the opposition job is to influence right doings in the country interest. Secondly, the opposite of the government in the House is the opposition, is the place of their job to oppose the government, right? The combat field to confront for the right. The opposition must always remember they have become the opponent, right? The time have come for peace. In cabinet, we need friendliness first for agreement, because, and the reason is good now, to have that ship that is filled with 1.4 million barrels of oil on the water, right, and Trinidad is in danger. We are threatened by that. If that happens, that oil spill, if that thing turn over, you know what danger we would be in? We need all on board to protect our country and our people. Our country is being threatened seriously with this ship and this oil. Every creed and race, every denomination, all have to be consumed now before it's too late. We will suffer enough before death. If this oil reach the water, the ship, something, it has to be moved, right? Not much time before it sink in. And we have the government and the opposition have to come in peace right now and unite, right? We need unity to get this ship out of the water, because, partner, it will be too late. And as Christian time saves many, you know, and prevention better than cure. Akashwani, thanks once more for the opportunity. A good day to all.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, morning. Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Yes, Satish. Satish, I just want to highlight one, just a little simple thing. Satish, last month, sometime last month, me and Nari Manchu went to check out our laptop to buy for my daughter. And his laptop was like, you know, around 40-something, 100 or 46-something. Satish and I went yesterday, same place. There was the price of the laptop, $6,500. So I asked them, I said, we was here last month and it was 46-something. They said, that was last month. I said, so you get new stock? They say, yeah, well, this is new stock. I said, but this is the same laptop we saw and we find out about everything and we call my daughter and tell she, and she say, yeah, that is a good one. They say, well, there is 65, 90 something. So Satish, what is really going on?
Well,
what is real? Because your child doing online and they have to get it. That is the price you have to pay for it. You understand? I just wanted to tell you that. Thanks very much.
What you find, thank you for your call. What you find is unscrupulous business people taking advantage of a sure thing. Because you have a huge demand at this point in time for a device that children need in order to get their education. So you will have people taking advantage of that. There's a supply and demand. You'll have business people coming out and defending it, saying, well, you know, sourcing these devices worldwide now is more difficult, so you have to pay more for it in the international market, and that will result in an increase. There are some people who just take their old stocks and they go sell it back to you at a higher price as if they have. So, and you're in a situation where there's not much that you really can do about it because you need to get it for your child's education. So you're between a rock and a really, really hard place. And as I said, there are those who will take advantage of those dynamics. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Satish and Kiran. I'm calling from San Fernando. That last caller, that computer that they had priced at $46.95 and is now $6,500 more or less, that's what you call supply and demand. And in our country, we don't have much foreign reserve. And we have a lot of businesses are going out. People are going out of business. Businesses are closing down. You have the COVID, so you have less items coming in the country and a whole lot of other things. So that's what you call supply and demand. And I don't think it's not going to get better. Now, our Prime Minister, he imposed on us four things that I look at. Number one, property tax. That alone should have been kept, at least after the COVID. You know, bring it next 2 years when you get a vaccine. Bring that harsh property tax. Or you give it in concessions. This year you pay so much and you put it in steps so people can manage it. But on top of that, you have the fuel subsidy that has gone. So people have to bear that fuel subsidy. And then on top of that, you have WASA. All the subsidies of WASA is gone. So you have to pay the full price of WASA, of water. Then you have the Electricity Commission, where all that subsidies is gone. So you have that also. So you put the four together, and what he said, tighten your belt for the next 2 years. But it's not going to be for the next 2 years. It's going to be all the time. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for your call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning. Yeah, after the Prime Minister a week ago mentioned about the sabotage that took place in the Banlara Stadium, or in the boat when it was out in New Jersey, and all kinds of things. I see alleged sabotage by Minister Wilson last night on the news day, alleging in a smart kind of way. Well, I find that very coincidental. Because when the Prime Minister made that statement, there are a lot of people who wasn't too pleased with going with that, still going with that. So to kind of justify that, because the pump pandemic damaged to the extent that the system was shut down, only two pumps, one good, only 15 minutes time, and then line outside the boat. Like everything could fix back fast then. But, and the minister made down there with a press crew to highlight that sabotage. I find that very coincidental. Like, may I trust these people in it?
Thank you for your call. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Satu Shankar.
Morning.
No, I cannot confuse. I live in a tree hole. I finished pay for that about a good 3 years ago. I can't remember exactly. No, I want to know, I'm not again confused. I want to know if I have to pay property tax. It's not a rental, it's mortgage. I pay them off, I have a house deed and everything. I'm going to listen up here. Thank you very much.
I think, from my understanding of how it works, I think once you have your deed, the house is yours or the property is yours or whatever it is, you're going to have to pay property tax. The persons who get away are those who have not yet taken the mortgage, have not taken ownership of the property just yet. Then you have your rent or own and all of them kind of different things that one way or the other don't categorize as falling under the property tax. But from the discussions that we've had about property tax, and we've been having them for quite a while, persons like yourself who've paid off your mortgage and you have your deed and that kind of thing, you are now a property owner and you would be subjected to the provisions of the property tax. Now, this is the Morning Panchayat on Akashvani 106.5 FM. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish. I want to give a comment about your position here. Now, when one speaks, when I notice that someone speaks, even I sometimes when one speaks, could be intelligent as much. And you see you're making vain repetition. It is time to come to an end. It is time to end your speech. It is time to wrap up. And this is what I see with the opposition leader. You make two losses. That is enough to clear out and give someone a chance. Now, what I want to ask, I have a problem with the word property tax. I don't know if you define, I will listen off here. What is meant by the word property tax? Now, if I have a car, or if I have a piece of land or house, that's my property. But what if I have a bicycle, I have a box, I have anything, a shovel? Is not that a property? I'm just listening. And something like a fridge, you know, is this like a property, a bed? Are they taxing on all these things? I would just like to find out. Thank you.
My best person to ask that is call a member right now. He might be able to clarify all those things for you when it comes to what property means and all that kind of bacchanal. But you know what's so sad? So sad is that this thing has been around since 2009 and we're still asking for that kind of definition. Hello, good morning.
Mr. Kiron, I want to add a little something this morning with no disrespect. Disaster for the past 8 years or more averaging. Disaster hit our country, left, right, and center, east, west, north, and south. Disasters in different ways. None could deny this. Now, if I could use examples right now, it's too much. It's too much. Now, come on. See this ship with this oil, our blue water will be destroyed with this oil. You know, fishing industry will go die completely. A black sea with oil will stop. Even ships from entering our waters, right? And it will bring hardship to our people, to our country, our people. This happening could remain permanent if this happens, right? The United Nations and even the world leaders. This is one cause that everybody should be concerned. If this does not end it too, we who will suffer enough. Gentlemen, Akashvani, thanks for the opportunity again.
Latest information coming out in relation to the tanker, the Nabarima, is that the ship has stabilized. It's no longer leaning to one side. It's no longer from the images posted.
So what that mean? The next side starts a sinking on down too?
No, well, apparently what has happened is that they've used anchors and they've stabilized the ship upright, one way or the other. However they've done it, the photos show that the ship has been stabilized.
Okay.
As to whether or not it means that something is going to happen in the future, you can't really tell. But for now, it does not seem as though, from the images posted this morning, that the ship is in danger of turning over and spilling 1.5 million barrels of oil into the sea at this point in time. As to whether or not they're going to leave the Nabarima there, or they're going to move it, or whatever else, we wait to see. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Forrest Vinya. Greetings to all. My parents always told me, what you have and who you owe. That means your assets and your liabilities. And that is how I work. Up to now, the minister has not told us, I'll make the point, how much per year we spend out of our income to service debt. I understand about 8 or 9 billion TT per year to service our debt. And he's hiding the figures. And when I look at the public debt, if the bank says 120 billion up to a certain amount, you have to count the overdraft on the exchequer account, which is about 45 billion TT, because the government has to pay interest on that account. So when you add 120 to 45 billion, 165 billion, and yet we owe people bonds, the trade union movement waiting there to collect their share, and the minister is hiding from us how much of our income we have to put to service our debt, and I think it's about 8 or 9 billion TT per year. And up to now, I live in a country, and nobody can tell me whether the central bank or the Minister of Finance exactly what our liability is nationally. We have to do that so we can have a plan to manage our debt position. So how could you be spending and you don't remember your debt position? And that's what the minister, in my view, has to tell us exactly what is the total national public debt. And I made the point earlier, every citizen born, not right now, in this country, per capita, has a debt of $88,000 on their head. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for your call. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, morning.
Good morning.
I would like to talk about two things there. The arsenal attack on the water pump at Bamboo, number one. Now, the minister believes that the attack was done by someone who would benefit whenever there is flooding. Now, the minister is entitled to his opinion, but I believe he's merely speculating. Eh? But the whole problem of flooding, like many other problems, is a frequent occurrence, eh? And mostly in UNC constituencies. Now, take, for instance, Pinal de Bay, which is under the jurisdiction of the PDRC. Every time there is flooding there or some other problem, you never hear what the PDRC is doing about these issues. But what you do hear from the chairman and the CEO is that the corporation, they're always blaming somebody else for their problems. Now, you never hear what are they doing with the little resources they are getting to alleviate the problems of the residents there. For decades, as you know, Satish and Kiran, billions of dollars have been spent on box drains. This has been going on for decades to no avail, no relief. Are people questioning what are they doing effectively with the resources they are getting there? You know what I mean? The same thing with the roads. Recently, you had an issue where somebody was dumping coconut shells, blocking the access to somebody's property. And when it was investigated, there were mounds of asphalt and oil sand dumped by the PDRC on the side of the road. That was used to pave the road there. It was supposed to be used for that. And nothing was being done. You know, you have the material there, but you dump it at the side of the road, nothing was being done. You know, it questions how effectively that corporation, especially PDRC, is carrying out its functions. Are the workers, the supervisors, the managers, the chairman, the council, are they doing their job properly? If not, you know, you have to dismiss these people. Now, I want to make it clear, finally, whether it's from UNC or PNM, any political party in power, in control of the council, that is not the point. You have to do your jobs. You know, citizens are fed up, whether it's UNC, PNM, or otherwise. They just want to get their lives a little bit easier, proper roads, proper drainage, you know, flooding alleviated, and so on. water, access to water, with whoever, whichever is the political party in power.
Okay, thank you so much for your call. 9:10. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. You know, people with comorbidities are dying out. So eventually, we'd have less people with high blood pressure, less people with diabetes, less people with heart problems, less people with kidney problems. So Trinidad will be a healthier place. You know, that's where it's pointing to. I might very well be in that bunch. The second thing is the way the PNM is trying to blame the UNC for everything that goes wrong. Like if there are no mad people in the PNM, no saboteurs in the PNM, no incompetent people in the PNM, no ridiculous, foolish, dotage, stupid people in the PNM, I would think that most of the Trinidadians who are in all these categories are in the PNM. That's just my opinion. And that everything that goes wrong is UNC sabotage. They're creating a hatred against UNC people, especially by the lower-level illiterate PNM people. I know that Eric knows better, eh? But he's not going to come out and stop it, right? He is going to go with his PNM line. And even Rohan Sinanan, who is an Indian, is now making the Indian people vulnerable to attack by these people who believe that the UNC and therefore the Indians are sabotaging everything all around them. Imagine that you are in a particular environment somewhere and something goes wrong. And the question of sabotage pops up in the minds of many people. And you are Indian and you are in that environment and therefore you are identified as UNC and the obvious saboteur. Right? Are you going to pay the penalty? Where are they going with this? This is going to end up in violence and somebody is going to get hurt, somebody is going to die, somebody is going to retaliate. These idiots in the PNM do not see where they are going with this. And people who should know better, like Rohan Sinanan, clearly this is an intelligent, high-achieving man. Clearly Eric is an intelligent man. They are not putting a stop to it. Thank you.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, that is the Belmont. Mr. Pinal, I agree with you. Totally 150%. Satish, you can remember in the 2009 election, PNM's Pinnacle Beckles said that the PNM is a cult. If we go to follow the cult at the PNM, there's no democracy in the PNM, you know. Look at the leader of the PNM. He says anything, he does anything, he don't care. That's why I always say it's not a government, it's a party controlling Trinidad and Tobago. In the UNC, you have democracy, how they could mash it up, they could come back, this one could say that one could say that. All sort of thing they say about the former prime minister. And she come back and she forgives them, put them to the Senate, she do every single thing. That is democracy, that is constitutional rights and so on. But in the PNM, there is no democracy, it's a cult. And if we go to follow the cult, that would be the end of Trinidad and Tobago. Because you go find the two parties behaving in the same particular manner, saying anything, behaving anyhow. They don't care what they do. Somebody must care. That makes the difference between the PNM and the UNC. The caring one would always behave in a particular way, and the non-caring one would always behave in a closing house attitude. When I go into campaign and I meet the PNM, I just behave like a real jabber and a pig, you know, and I just can't vote them. I can't go there with democracy and all these other things. So this is what happened. It's a cult. That makes the difference.
Okay, thank you very much for your call.
It's a cult that's in power.
Well, there are some people who will also watch UNC and say that it's a cult. Let's be careful, you're throwing around that word.
It's a cult that won two elections back to back. 627-3223-625-2257. Hello, good morning.
Yes, sir. Can I get into your law?
You're live on the air.
I'm calling you from New York. I just wanted to update you that the gentleman who asked about property tax has a valid point, which means that property tax and personal property are a vast difference. Property tax refers to actually real estate where you have a house, land, and improvements. But personal property refers to a refrigerator, air condition, anything that's movable, so that he gets a clear understanding what is property tax and what is personal property. and that is like it's in the law back here in New York. Secondly, I would like to have this point made when he comes back on Vasant Bharat that agriculture, we have enough lands and we have enough space to accommodate the production. However, why don't we think about importing not from the U.S., not from the U.K. and Canada, but from the Central American countries like Argentina, like Ecuador, like Chile. Chile produces a lot of apples, a lot of green fruits and vegetables, and we can bring that through the Panama Canal at a lower cost and sustain a lower cost for the people in our country instead of going all the way back to the U.K. and these countries. No one has yet explored that, but that's a chance to be explored later on. I hope when I come back on Thursday, I'll hear from Mr. Vasant Bharat if that's a possible or viable proposition.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call. This is where we drop the curtain on this edition of our show, as we always say.
Wherever you're going and whatever you're doing, please be careful on our nation's roads. Remember, in saving a life that you save, it just be that of your own.
ये है आपके मनपसंद आकाशवाणी 106.5 FM, Awakening the Mind and Spirit.